Well, good evening, everybody. Are you all awake now? Did you like it? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Who can tell me what time is it? No, man, that's not what I'm talking about. What time of the year is it? It's Easter. And what are we celebrating when we celebrate Easter? Okay, wait. What do you say? The life that Jesus gave for us. What do you say? Oh, you bunked Sunday school. Yes, it's the day that Jesus forgave all our sins. And what does Easter mean for you? Resurrection. What does it mean to you? Victory. I like that. Well, they're all right. You see, Easter is a time for us to reflect. You know, we were talking on Friday, and I said to the people that one of the things that the Bible makes very clear, God doesn't want us to forget. You know, in the old days when Moses was leading the Israelites through the desert, God spoke to Moses and he said to Moses, instruct your people to always remind and bring to remembrance the subsequent generations, the miracles that I have done, lest they forget. One thing about God, he doesn't want us to forget what he has done in our lives. Let me just see the hands. Who of you can say that God has done something for you in your life? Just wave at me. Well, I want you to listen to me carefully. God doesn't want you to forget. And just like Moses and just like the people in the desert, so God expects us now and then to share with people what God has done for us, because then we keep it alive. We celebrate Easter because we have to remember the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. Jesus giving his life. God giving his son. You know, you've heard this before, but God is a giver. God cares about you and he cares about me. He cared enough to give his son so that we will not perish but have eternal life. You want to be a good Christian? Get to the place that you start giving. Get to the place that you start giving sacrificially. Give God of your time. Give God of your energy. Give God of whatever it is that you have. And give to those that are in need. And you are going to see God work in your life like you have never seen or experienced it before. We are celebrating Easter. We are celebrating something amazing. And I want to read you a scripture here. It comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 6. Is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says the following. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory from before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. All right, I'm going to say something about the first part, but let's just quickly look at the second part. Let me see anybody in this place tonight that has a need. Anybody in this place that needs more wisdom, more energy, vuma, life, excitement, enthusiasm, zeal, joy, finances? You should have shouted louder for joy and for wisdom. You know, Solomon asked God for wisdom and he got all the finances he needed. Amen. But in any case, you get the idea. Now, listen to me. I want to take you through the scripture. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. Did you hear that? When you came here tonight, you have no idea what God is going to do in this place tonight. And let me tell you something. When the Bible speaks like that, God is just preparing you and saying to you, I'm going to blow your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare yourself. Fasten your seatbelt. Now look deep in their eyes. No, it better not be another man's wife, eh? But look deep in their eyes and say, prepare to be blown away. Listen to what God says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. Look at your neighbor and say, that's for you. Okay, now the other one is feeling rejected. So just turn to the other side and say, for you too. Thank you. And for you. And for you. Amen. Right, let's look at this quickly. He says, yeah, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. All right, let's quickly talk about that. I know somewhere in the past I have spoken about this before, but this is relevant for today. There's a lot of wise people in this world, or in their own minds and in their own eyes, they are wise. And they like to confound us with big words, and they sound intellectual, but they're not really doing much to help mankind. You know, people come up with theories and all sorts of stuff. Let's talk about it. There's a lot of nonsense out there, isn't there? The theory of this and the theory of that. I think of one, the theory of evolution. It's still just a theory, isn't it? It can't be proven. It's a load of nonsense. And when you get people to believe in that, you take the focus off who? God. You ever wondered whether the devil came up with that? The Antichrist always wants to take attention off God and put it on something else. Come straight from the Antichrist. There's a lot of wisdom in this world, but the Apostle Paul says the wisdom that we should be preaching is not the wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom greater than the wisdom that is in this world. That wisdom comes from God. And let me tell you something, all the money in the world cannot buy it for you. If God doesn't give it to you by His grace, you will never have it. Now, what is it that God expects us to preach? Listen carefully. We do. That means you. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. You will not change somebody's life by sharing with them human, earthly wisdom. You will change their life when you begin to introduce them to the wisdom that comes through the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God touches them through the wisdom that comes from your mouth, their life will never be the same again. They are going to change, they are going to transform, and they will be a new man or a new woman. Now, some of you are thinking of some people in your life that you think, wow, if only that one would change. Guess what? God wants to use you to bring them to a place that they change, and the way that that is going to happen is by what comes out of your mouth. Yes, you sometimes have to open your mouth, but it's got to do with what comes out of you. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. I want somebody to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Do you know why I said that? Of course not. Let me explain. Because the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. Who is the ruler of this age? Oh, for those that don't know, it's Satan. Do you hear the word of God is giving you a prophecy? The rulers of this age that are working in your life right now is going to come to nothing. Now, I thought more people would be all excited. You know that spirit of death working against you? He's going to come down tonight. The spirit of infirmity that's giving you a hard time, he's coming down tonight. Insanity, madness, suicide, death, decay, destruction, pain, they're coming down tonight. Amen. Now look at this. No, sorry, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Do the rulers of this age have something to say? Yes, they do. I'm not talking about Prince Charles, please. He's got nothing to say. I'm talking about the chochos up there that like to come up with a new religion every second year. You know, right now we've got so many religions, we don't know whether we're coming or going. You know, the devil knows people want something, so he's constantly busy fabricating new lies and innuendos and nonsense for people to fall for. There's a lot of demonic wisdom out there. You go to a fortune teller, oh, she's got a lot of wisdom to share with you, but it's coming from the ruler of this age. You go to a witch doctor, they've got a lot to say to you, but it is the wrong type of wisdom. And if you put your faith in that wisdom, it's going to bring you down, because they are coming down. Listen to what the Word of God says about them. Let me remind you, who are coming to nothing. Why do we want to run after these things? Why are we interested in what the stars prophesy? What the bones meant? It's coming to nothing. Whatever is not rooted in Christ, whatever is not rooted in truth, is on a shaky foundation, and God says the foundation is about to fall. It's going to come to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. I know for some of you this is a really strange thing, but the things of God are hidden. The things of God are hidden so that they can't just be found by anybody. The way that you come to the place where you begin to understand the secret things of God is when God sees that you are faithful. And let me help you to understand, you have to be faithful in the little things before God gives you the big things. You know, a lot of Christians, they want to get saved today, and tomorrow they want to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. God can't trust you yet because you haven't proven yourself. It takes time, it takes commitment, it takes dedication, it takes perseverance for you to prove yourself to God. And you know what? Somebody was arguing the other day whether God tests us, yes or no. Yes, He does. God does test you. The Bible says when the Israelites were in the desert, there God tested them. If God tested them, God tests you and I. But you know what? Tests are not a bad thing. It's the only way to be promoted. Do you remember when you were at school? Did anybody ever promote you for just sitting on your backside in class? Or did they promote you when you wrote the test and you passed? You see, when God puts you through a time of trial, tribulation, and testing, it is because you're writing exam and God wants to promote you. You know what we sometimes do when we go through that time of our life? We throw tantrums, we complain, we perform. Oh, God is unfair. God says, well, obviously, you're not ready. We'll do it again next year. Hello? That's not a nice thing. I don't want to do it again next year. I want to pass this year. Amen? Yeah, do you agree with me? All right, so let's continue. Listen to this. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Do you know that there is wisdom in the kingdom of God pertaining to your life and pertaining to your future, pertaining to your destiny, pertaining to the gifts that are inside of you, pertaining to what God has put in you to be used for His glory? It's all up there. God knows all about it. The angels in her life know all about it. The only one that needs to figure out what's going on is her. But it's the same for you and for you. It's the same for you and for you. There is a secret knowledge in the kingdom of God pertaining to every single one of us. And one of the main reasons why it is hidden is because God doesn't want the devil to know nothing about it. When Satan looks at you, he can see your past. And he can see a lot of the mistakes that you've made. And sometimes he writes us off as nobodies, nothings. We are useless. But then again, are we? No. Because let's go back to what this scripture says. No eye has seen. That includes Satan. No ear has heard. That includes Satan. No mind has conceived. That includes Satan. What God has prepared for those who love Him. In other words, listen to me carefully. What God has for us is big. Amen. It is so big that even if you had to sit here and you had to fathom it, you try and think, oh, how big can it be? The Bible says, don't even bother, because you can't go there. Your mind is too small to understand the glory of God that He has prepared for you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm excited about that. Please do it like you mean it. Oh, I like that. That's much better. That's much better. There are some good things in your future. My boy, did you hear that? There's good things in your future. I don't care what's in your past. Your future is bright. Amen? Your future is bright. Do you know that the spirit of suicide is a very busy spirit? The spirit of depression, hopelessness, despair, despondency, dejection. They are very busy demons. Why? Because they want people to stop looking forward and start looking backwards. They want people to give up. They want people to just cease. They must just coast through life praying for death to come and take them. Why? Because the devil knows something is in the future. And when that something breaks through, when we find that something, we are going to be unstoppable. I want you to think this way. There was a time when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy. And Satan did not know who he was. Rion, how can you say that? Well, if Satan knew who Jesus was, why did he kill all the babies in Israel? Why didn't he just go to Jesus and kill him? You see, Satan, he likes to tell us he knows everything, but he knows nothing. Nothing. He knows what God chooses to reveal to him. He knows nothing other than that. He fabricates a lot of lies, but he doesn't know. There was a time when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy going through adolescence and going through all the ups and downs and upheavals that we go through when we go through that time of our life. And probably the devil many times walked past him and thought, what a loser. Well, who was the loser in the end? It was the devil, wasn't it? I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't Jesus. And he's walked past you a couple of times and thought to him, not much to her. Guess what? He's wrong. And Louis, he's walked past you a couple of times and thought, man, what was God thinking? But he was wrong. Because inside every single one of us, the Bible says that we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. And that treasure is only visible to God. It's only accessible to God. And the closer we get to God and the more we begin to understand God's purpose for our life, the more the treasure comes out. And you see, the devil, even though he doesn't know the future, he doesn't want you to go there because he doesn't want you to discover. There was a time when the Apostle Paul was a teenager. There was a time when he was a Pharisee. And he was doing all the things that the devil wanted him to do. He was persecuting the church. He was against everybody. But guess what? Locked up inside of him was what the Bible says. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived. If you told the Apostle Paul 3 weeks, 2 weeks, one day before he went on the Damascus Road and saw Jesus, that his life would change irrevocably, completely and totally, he would have looked at you and said, you must be mad. If he lived in today's age, he would have said to you, what are you smoking? Hello? Come on. But guess what? Within one day, it changed. God doesn't need years to change your life. God can change your life in one day because of this scripture. Listen to it. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Many. You used to smoke funny stuff, didn't you? Even when you were on a big block, my friend. You couldn't see the stuff of God. There's bigger things for you in the future. Amen. Yeah, amen. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Auntie Debs, you came all the way from Cape Town for God to talk to you about your future. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you see right now, it's not the end. Do you hear me? Because your eyes can't see it and your ears haven't heard it and your mind hasn't conceived it, but something is coming. It's good. It's good. It's awesome. It's amazing. And let me tell you something. It scares the dingus out of the devil. Yeah. And he doesn't like the fact that I'm talking to you about this stuff right now because he's convinced a couple of you that you are losers. Listen to me. Who is the loser? It's definitely not you. Because locked up inside of you is a treasure. Him, he had his opportunity. He's the loser. There's nothing for him. And can I tell you something else? He knows exactly what his future is. You and I, we're still going through the process of God revealing it to us, but he knows exactly. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Let's go there. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. He speaks of a wisdom that was hidden and for an appropriate time. And then he goes on and we actually see what this wisdom is. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It has to do with the crucifixion. What is this wisdom? Or what is the start of this wisdom? How do you get to the place that you enter into the realm where this wisdom is beginning to be revealed to you? Can somebody help me out? It's got to do with the crucifixion. He says there, if the rulers of the age understood this wisdom, they would have understood that in crucifying Christ, they were actually playing into God's hand. When Satan said, I have victory, Jesus said, I just defeated you. I know for some of you this might be a little bit strange, but that's the truth. The wisdom that he is talking about that you and I need to have in our life starts at the cross. Can I tell you why? Because it was on the cross that Jesus conquered Satan. It was on the cross that Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice to bring you back into a relationship with God. It was on the cross that Jesus made a way for you to become what the Bible calls born again. And when you become born again, what does it mean? You know, there was a guy in the Bible once that looked at Jesus and he said, what do you mean I must be born again? Must I go back into my mother's womb and come out again? The wisdom that he was speaking through that day was his mind. But the wisdom that Jesus was speaking was the wisdom of the kingdom of God that comes through the Holy Spirit. Why must we become born again? Because where you are born determines your rights and your privileges. If you are born in South Africa, you have the right to be called a citizen of South Africa. It doesn't give you many privileges, let's be very honest, but at least you're a citizen, right? They can't deport me tomorrow because I have a green book that says I'm allowed to be here. If you are born in the United States, it gives you the right to say, I am a citizen of the United States. And let me help you to understand something. If somebody messes with somebody in the United States, then the full backing of their army is behind that person. Like, let's say you go to another country and something happens and they want to lock you up or whatever. Then they are touching somebody that is looked after and overseen by the full might, the full military might of the United States of America. Do you want to mess with them? Most people don't want to. So it offers you protection. It offers you salvation in a certain sense. Now, we were all born on this earth, right? And who's the God of this world? Satan. And what do you think Satan's plan is for your life? He came to steal. He came to kill. And he came to destroy. That's right. So when that baby is born, what does the devil do? He stands there and he thinks, I've got 100 ways of messing up your life. I'm going to rob you of your peace. I'm going to rob you of your joy. I'm going to bring as much destruction into your life as possible. There is pain and suffering in your future. There is a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of anger and frustration. There's a lot of betrayal and backstabbing. Oh, and don't forget jealousy, because that always seems to be around. And as long as you are a citizen of this earth, let's call it that way, that's kind of like where the devil wants to push you. But what if you could change citizenship and come under a new rulership, come under new authority, come under new power? Well, you can. He says, yeah? No. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus got crucified, the door was opened for us to become children of God. Because in his death, there was life. The best way to see it is Jesus is the passport. If you want to move from one country to another country, you need a passport. You want to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you still need a passport. But the passport in this case is not a book, it's a man. If he is with you, they will accept you. If you come alone, they will reject you. A lot of people try and enter the kingdom of God through good works, being holy and pious, quoting scriptures, saying, but I gave money to the church, etc. But you're still standing at the gates alone, because none of that gives you Jesus. But when you receive Jesus, when you put your faith in him, and if you put your faith in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, it changes your life forever, because suddenly you are standing at the door of the kingdom of God, and the man himself is with you. He's the only one that can open the door. Where do I get that? Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hello? Anybody want to change their life? You need somebody that can open doors for you. Jesus said, I am the door opener. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now let me help you to understand something. Even in the kingdom of God, there are other doors for you to enter into. There is the door of salvation, and praise God if you found the door of salvation. But then there are many other doors. There's the door to prosperity. Do you know that in the kingdom of God, God wants you to prosper? Hello? You think God wants you to suffer? You think God wants you to fall apart? No, God wants you to prosper, but that's a door that you have to go through. Guess what? On your own, you're not going to make it. Jesus, just like he opens the door to salvation, he opens the door to prosperity, he opens the door to healing. There's many of you here tonight, you need healing in some area of your life. And it doesn't have to be physical. Sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's spiritual. But Jesus opens the door to healing. Ooh. 99.999% of you here need to be delivered. Guess what? Jesus is the deliverer. But you need to go through that door. On your own, you will never get there. Visiting a witch doctor, you will not get there. Reading books on mind control and positive thinking will not get you there. The New Age is just a different lie, that's all. It's not going to get you anywhere. But Jesus will take you through that door. There is a door to peace. The Bible speaks of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I don't know about you, but I need that door in my life. Anybody else? Jesus will take you through that door. It's not that difficult, is it? But you see, on your own, you will not find the way. Jesus knows the way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. You want to find peace? You better find Jesus first, because he knows the way. You want to find prosperity? You better find Jesus first, because he knows the way. Do you want to find acceptance? Jesus knows the way. Do you want to find life, joy, happiness? Jesus knows the way. You find him, you find the way. It all started here at the cross. Because what Satan thought was a victory turned out to be a defeat. And that turned out to be the first door that opened. Jesus said to the disciples, the one day they were talking, and Jesus said to them, where I am going, you cannot follow. But I have to go to prepare a way for you. In my Father's mansion are many rooms. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I am going to prepare a way for you. There are many rooms. There are many doors in the kingdom of God. And yes, one of the sad things, a lot of people only enter through the first door, which is the door of salvation. But they don't realize that once you are in the house, Jesus doesn't want you to stay in the foyer. He wants you to explore the house. In the house is a hospital. You can be healed of all your problems. In the house is a mental institution, and I don't mean that in a bad way. All the screwy things in your brain can be sorted out there, you know? In the house is a bank where you can make withdrawals and receive prosperity. Hello? I don't know about you, but I want to go into that room. Yeah. Did you ever watch the Donald Duck cartoons? There was this clown on there named Scrooge McDuck. And he used to have this room. When he went in there, he would swim in his money. Well, there's one of those places in the kingdom of God somewhere, because there is abundant prosperity available to every single one of us. Amen. In that house is a comedy room, where if you walk into that place, joy is going to flow through you like a river. Amen. You're going to be arrested by laughter. Joy, happiness. In other words, everything that you need, everything that you could ever need is available to you. But you need to go through that door. The only way to get through that door, Jesus is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. Now, let me show you something. I'm going to come back to this now. But I want to show you something else first. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 10 to verse 17. Listen to this. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. On the Sabbath day... No, this is not what I was looking for. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 8, sorry. Let me just find that quickly. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen." Did you hear that? Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? If you want somebody to guide your life, you better make sure that he's not a corpse. Hello? Let me help you to understand. Allah is going to get you nowhere. Krishna is going to get you nowhere. Hanuman is going to get you nowhere. Buddha is going to get you nowhere. Can I tell you why? Because they're dead. But there's somebody that is risen. I want you to hear what the angels said to the woman. How do the angels know? Because they see. Listen to this. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Did you hear that? Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. The healer is not dead. The healer is alive. The deliverer is not dead. The deliverer is alive. Are there a couple of doors that you need to go through? Plenty. Guess what? If you put your faith in Him, if you put your faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, He will take you not only to the right door, but He will allow you to go through. Amen? You need to go through the door of peace, He'll take you there. You need to go through the door of wisdom, no problem, He'll take you there. What I'm trying to say to you is this. This is a wonderful time for us. Because yeah, we celebrate what Jesus made available to us. He made available to us the wisdom, the secret things of the kingdom of God. There are many doors for you, but I can't tell you what they are. Because that wisdom is hidden even from me, even from you. But Jesus knows. And He can take you through those doors and He can teach you. Have you ever wondered about your future? There's somebody that can take you down the right path. Have you ever looked at your life and said, "I'm missing X, Y, Z"? Somebody knows where to find it for you. His name is Jesus. He has access to the secret things of God. He's risen. He's alive. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's not dead. He's alive." And because He's alive, you got no problem. You know, when you put your faith in dead things, the only thing you're going to reap is death. But when you put your faith in Christ, the Bible says in Him we have a living hope. Why do we have a living hope? Because He's alive. The angels knew that the women were wasting their time crying over Him. Because you don't have to cry over somebody that's not dead. A lot of us, we cry about a lot of stuff. If only we would go to Jesus, we would find out we could stop crying. Because God has a different plan for our lives. It's not God's heart for you to suffer. It's not God's heart for you to fall apart. It's not God's heart for you to live a life of destruction. There is hope if you accept Jesus Christ into your life. There is hope if you allow Him to guide your life. There is hope if you let Him take you through those doors that right now might be closed. But let me remind you, no eye has seen, no ear has heard Some of you are here tonight and you've been battling with the same thing for a long time. And maybe once or twice you've been prayed for it and you think to yourself, well, that's just the way my life has to be. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. I want to take you back. The Apostle Paul, 10 minutes before the Lord Jesus appeared to him, thought he was doing the right thing and just, well, this is my life. In 1 second, his life changed. Hello? In 1 second, his life changed. Why not you? Come on. Why not you? Okay, so you're under financial strain right now. You want to tell me God can't change it in the twinkling of an eye? Okay, so you're confused right now and you don't know where to go, left, right, or center. Like that, wisdom can come to you. You see, this is the knowledge of the kingdom of God that the devil doesn't want you to have. The devil wants us to feel hopeless. He wants us to feel frustrated. He wants us to feel dejected. In fact, he wants you to say, this is not working for me. But it is. It is working for you. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus is alive. He cares for you. He has a plan for you, don't he? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope. To give you a future. But I've got good news for you, because that's not just for Tony. That's for you too, and for you too, and for you too. My friend, God has a good plan for your life. In fact, God has a brilliant plan for your life. And because Jesus is not dead but risen, you're going to find out what it is. And let me say something to you. Probably, in fact, definitely, God has planned some amazing things for you tonight. I like that. Your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it, and your mind hasn't conceived it, but God has prepared it for those He loves. Raise your hands if you believe God loves you. That means God has prepared something tonight for you. And tonight is a special night, because tonight we remember, we celebrate the event that started all of this, the resurrection. On the cross, Jesus conquered sin. On the cross, Jesus conquered death. On the cross, Jesus conquered the grave. On the cross, Jesus conquered sin, sickness, infirmity, every devil, every demon, and every curse. On the cross, Jesus said these words, "It is finished." Hello? For you. And for you. And for you. I like that. So guess what? There's a lot of other places that you could have been tonight, but I'm glad that you're not there, because tonight God has an appointment with you. Tonight God wants you to experience the grace of God that was released for all of us on that cross. Tonight God wants us to experience, she said it just now, this time for her means victory. We all need victory in some area of our life. Some of us need to conquer the demon of fear. Some of us need to conquer the demon of low self-esteem. Some of us need to conquer the demon of debt. Some of us need to conquer the demon of hopelessness. Laziness. Where are my two sons? Come sit here in the front, please. Louis, there's three chairs open. Come sit here. Some of us need to conquer that demon that says give up on life. It's nothing for you. I beg to differ. You know what? When the demon talks to you about your future, he's always lying. Did anybody in the last week hear something say to you, just give up? Come on, just be honest. Something said to you, give up. It's not worth it. Can I tell you something? The devil's lying to you. Because he does not know your future. He does not know your future. Now you're going to say this with me. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived. What God has prepared for me. Amen. Did you hear what you just said? You just confirmed that that stupid thing lied to you. Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. In fact, the devil's quite stupid, isn't he? But because we don't know the truth, we fall for his lies all the time. Jesus is risen. Because Jesus is risen, we now, through him, have the right to know the knowledge of the secret things of the kingdom of God. Which first and foremost is the fact that Jesus' death gives life. Let's look at that wisdom. Just very quick. The wisdom that the devil didn't want you to have. The wisdom that the rulers of this age have no comprehension of. Number one, in death there is life. In Christ's death, he made the way for us to have eternal life. Jesus' pain and suffering means our peace. Jesus' wounds brought us healing. Jesus' curse brought us freedom. Jesus' poverty brought us riches. And so the list can go on and on and on. But I want to say something to you. When you get to the place that you look at the cross, you understand that the cross is empty. Now, I don't want to step on your toes, but I want to say something about the cross that is depicted in the Catholic Church and in a lot of other churches. They depict the cross with Jesus on the cross, and let me just say something to you. He's not on the cross. And it creates the wrong image. That's the image the devil wants. The devil wants everybody just to see Jesus suffering on the cross. No, when you look at the cross, look at the empty cross. Because he's no longer on it. And he's no longer dead. He is risen. Did you hear what the angel said to the woman? Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is alive. Just look at the person next to you. Touch them quickly. Shake hands with them. They're responding because they're alive. Ask the person next to you to stand quickly. Okay, now you all should stand. Listen, yeah, there's a couple of demons of deafness in this place. I want to cast them out before you go. Okay, now ask them to sit again. Ask them to stand again. Ask them to sit again. Stand again. Sit again. Now that's just me having fun. It's okay. I'm just making sure that you're not sleeping in my meeting. Where's Donald? Oh, no, he's not here tonight. He should have been here tonight. That would have woken him up. But in any case. Okay, why did we do that? Because we can see that the person sitting next to us is alive. When we speak to them, they hear and they respond. I want you to listen to me carefully. In the same way, Jesus is alive. When you speak to him, he hears and he responds. Did you come into this place tonight with a need? Guess what? He's here. He's alive. And he will respond. I don't know if you heard what I just said to you, because this is big. He is not dead. He is risen. And just like when you spoke to the person next to you now, they responded, so tonight when you speak to the Lord Jesus, he will respond. I want to ask you again, do you have a need? He will meet your need. Do you have some big obstacle blocking you from going forward? Rolling the stone away was no problem. Rolling the boulder out of your life for Jesus is no problem. You know the secret things of the kingdom of God? Here's another thing that you should think about. What is impossible for man is easy for God. We look at our life, we look at our situation, and we say, this will never change. Oh, it's impossible. Auntie, is anything impossible for God? Are you sure about that? Come stand here. Stand there. Georgie, where are you? Listen, yeah, just because it's your birthday doesn't mean you can slack off. How's your mind? All right. Do you believe Jesus is alive? Do you believe he's risen? How many of you know that he's here tonight? Come on. The Bible says when we gather in his name, he's there. So he's here tonight. Raise your hands. Say the word Jesus. Right. Lord Jesus, please touch her now. Well, who touched her? Because it wasn't me. Yeah, but now there's some of you that sit here and you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, you organized it beforehand, wada, wada, wada. Okay. Come stand here. Let's first clear something out. Did I talk to you beforehand, yes or no? Oh, okay, right. Jesus said, we will do what he did and we will do even greater things. Is that right? Because he's alive. Because he lives in us. Jesus is alive. Take it! Jesus is the healer. Right now there is healing over your body. Jesus is the deliverer. Right now deliverance is coming into your life. Come here. Jesus is alive. Raise your hands. Take it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. The Lord says to you tonight, son, a new door is opening in your life. God has prepared something amazing and wonderful. You are going to go through the most exciting time of your life right now. You are going to bubble. You are going to explode. You are going to experience amazing things. And people are going to look at you and say, who are you? And what have you done with Louis? But you do weird stuff all the time. Come here. That little one there. Come here. Jesus is alive. He is. You know that he does miracles. You need a miracle in your life. God is going to do a miracle for you. You and your husband, God is busy breaking chains of bondage in you and your husband's life. God is bringing the two of you to a place of freedom. You have cried about this. You have knocked on his door many times. Are you ready for this? Receive it in Jesus' name. Where's your husband? Come here. Little one. Hi. How are you? I'm all right. You believe Jesus is alive? Do you believe he's the healer? The redeemer? The deliverer? The savior? Right. You are proof of it. I agree with you. And God is good. Amen. There we go. Raise your hands. Take it. There's a spirit that's going to leave you now. It's something that sits on your tongue. Come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of her. No, I didn't say perform. Just leave. Go. The Lord gave you a word for your wife about miracles coming. Do you believe that Jesus is alive? He's the one that gives miracles. Do you believe it? Raise your hands. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it. Praise you, Lord. Come. Yes. Kira, come forward. Yeah, you can also come. Don't dodge the bullet. Amen. God is good. What are you smiling at? How do you know what God has prepared for you? Maybe you're going to be stuck on that floor for 2 hours. Oh, I agree with you. It is fine. Come here. Ah. You spoke to me about something a while ago. Are you ready for change? Are you? Bring your husband. Come here. Come here. Let's quickly look again. Jesus died that we might live. He was bruised and wounded so that we might be healed. He was poor so we might be rich. Amen. Why are you shaking? Is it the chocho with you? Is he getting stressed? Listen, you must I get the bouncers, because I know sometimes when we pray for you. No, we don't need them. We don't need them. Take your wife's hand. This is for both of you. The Bible says, if I find you faithful in the little things, I will give you greater things. The two of you are about to be promoted. Now you should be smiling now. You should be smiling now. Something is going to come over you, that you're going to begin to see change in your life. First, between the two of you, God is bringing peace. Listen to me. Peace. And then you're going to see it in a lot of other areas. Amen. Raise both of you, raise your hands. In Jesus' name. And you, auntie? You cool? No, you're not, you're hot. You know why? Because God's fire is on you. Take it. Well, bless God for that. Amen. Yeah. Raise your hands. Now come with me, yeah. Amen. There's a lot of turmoil and a lot of problems in your life right now. But it's okay. Because God is for you and not against you. And you will be the head and not the tail. Amen. You will be the head and not the tail. Tonight, God's going to touch your heart. Your heart has been heavy about a lot of things. You're going to feel something come out of you. The way you look at life is going to change. God never promised that you will not go through trials, tribulations. Jesus said there will be storms. But you're going to start experiencing the way you go through storms is going to change. Instead of the storms weighing you down, the storms are going to begin to speak to you and teach you lessons. Amen? Receive it in Jesus' name. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. The healer is alive. Talking about, come here, son, I need you to share your testimony. There's people here that I haven't heard. Come, come, come. Georgie's cousin, yes, come here. You know, the Lord has blessed us lately. We've had so many healings. Yeah, it's just mind-blowing. And God is doing amazing things. And if you ever wondered whether Jesus is risen, you just better listen to these testimonies and it'll speak to you. Just in short, I want you to share, you came here for the first time, what happened, what you experienced, blah, 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 and the test that you went for, and what you saw, and what God has done in your life. Please, if you don't mind. You know what? The Bible says we will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You see, every time we share our testimony, we give the devil a bloody nose. He doesn't like it, but he must get used to it. Amen? He must.
I was diagnosed about 4 or 5 years ago with chronic myeloid leukemia, which is a leukemia of the blood. Basically, all the red blood cells eat up the white blood cells. So I looked very pale, like basically on the tile floor. Do I look pale? All right. I had no energy. I couldn't do anything. I'm tired. I'll sleep for 8 hours. I'll wake up and I'm still tired. I couldn't even play with my kids and have fun with my kids. So I came here. I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago for prayer by Rian. And I just want to say, God touched me. Just so that you can understand, I was on medication. And the tablets kept my leukemia at bay. They call it, it's at a molecular level of 0.0087. After that evening, I went home. Rian spoke about the woman with the issue of blood that was touched. And as I was sitting here in the seat, I thought, just like she had an issue of blood, I've also got my issue of blood. And that really, it touched my heart. And I came up here with an expectation. So I then went for the test. Remember, the molecular level was 0.0087 with test as normal as per the medication. I went home that evening filled with the Spirit, being touched by God. I still took my medication, not thinking what I was doing. The evening after that, I said to my wife, I actually feel guilty about taking it. I then took the medication and just threw it in the corner of the cupboard, trusting in God for a miracle. 2.5 weeks later, I went for another exam. And as you're sitting there for the exam, you're thinking to yourself, is this real? Is it true? Is it happening? You can't believe how Satan can get into your mind. And you start querying yourself on things that God has done. Anyway, I took the exam. And the level right now is 0.0018 without medication at all. So, glory and praise God. Tonight, I have come with an expectation. The next test is a zero. Amen.
Amen. God is good, eh? Amen. And tell me something, the energy levels?
Yes, the energy levels are high. I went on holiday now with my kids. I'm able to play with them the whole day. I couldn't spend time in the water because, as all of you know, people with leukemia have got always blankets around them. You're cold. I can now stay in the cold water for the whole day. And my color is definitely not white like this tile floor anymore.
Amen. Well, bless God. I'm not going to pray for you now, but just now, when we start praying and ministering, God is going to sort you out. Whatever you need, Jesus is the answer. That's true. Whatever your need, Jesus is the answer. Auntie, please come here because that lady is not here, but I want you to share her testimony. Come, the one from last week. Please share that with them.
My neighbor, okay, big stuff's happened to her and her husband, and I told her, please come to the ministry because she told me that she's got cervical cancer and her husband's paralyzed from the neck down of an accident that he had. So she came, and Rian prayed for her. The power of God came upon her. The Monday or the Tuesday, she sent me a message saying that she'd gone for a three-month checkup and the tumor is gone. It's nothing.
Amen. Well, God is good. God is good. Amen. You see, my friend, what I want you to understand is this. The same Jesus that walked the earth and healed the sick still walks the earth today. He's in you and he's in me. The same Jesus that told the devil to go still tells the devil to go, and the devil still has to listen. Why? Because he's in you and he's in me. Jesus is still the healer. And you know, it's like those two angels, they were looking at these women thinking, but he told you he wasn't going to stay down. Why are you hanging around here? Now, in the same way, I think today, if an angel had the opportunity to speak to us, he would say to us, listen, yeah, doesn't the Bible tell you that he heals? Doesn't the Bible tell you that he delivers? Doesn't the Bible tell you that he honors faith? Hello? So why you doubt? Why don't you act upon it? You know, I think sometimes the angels look at us and they just shake their heads and they think, wow, what's wrong with these people? We have to have faith. We have to have faith. Tonight, I believe the Lord Jesus himself will touch you. I have to believe it, otherwise I must get out of the ministry and stop preaching. But I believe he'll touch you. I believe he'll change you. I believe he'll raise you up if you are dead. You know, you don't have to be a corpse to be dead. Some people are dead in life. They go through life existing but not living. That's not what God has for you, man. Come on. God has life for you. God has life for you. And I believe he wants you to live an abundant life. So let me ask this question. Did anybody learn something tonight? Hey, give the Lord a big hand, please. I want to invite you, please. You know what? We're not a lot of people tonight. I'm sure because it's a public holiday and all of that, a lot of people have gone away. But it doesn't matter. You come for prayer tonight. You come and allow the Lord to touch you. You come and allow the Lord to minister to you. There's actually something that I want to share with you. When those two women went to Jesus and they met the resurrected Christ, okay, they didn't meet him, they saw the empty tomb. But the moment they saw the empty tomb, angels came into both of their lives. I'm not lying to you, that's the Bible. The moment they were confronted with the reality that Jesus was risen, for the first time they saw angels. Why? Because that's how angels operate. When you understand the resurrection, when you understand Jesus is alive, then you enter into the knowledge of the kingdom of God and the secret mysteries of God start being revealed to you and angels start working in your life. It's not like they weren't there before, but now they have a lot more power. Now they have a lot more authority to actually work in your life. And you know what? The Bible says the angels of God are ministering spirits that are sent by God to minister to those who have inherited salvation. There are certain things that we cannot do that they have to do for us. And it's when you are confronted with the resurrection and you put your faith in it that they start working in a new level and in a new way in your life. Who do you think pushed the stone away? The angels of God. How many rocks in your life? How many obstacles blocking you from going forward? I'm sure God has multitudes of angels just waiting for the opportunity to see some faith in you so that they can move that boulder and allow you to pass. And I believe that tonight it's going to happen for you. Do you believe that, Mr. Ed? Cause? Uncle Tony? Well, there you have it. Auntie? Oh, yes. And it will.